Hey, gang, are you in a band in Austin? And you are thinking to yourself, 2020 is the year that my band is going to go from the band of schmoes to the band of pros. Well, you can start by rehearsing at Space Rehearsal and Recording. Space is a state-of-the-art affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. They have 31 spacious rooms, great PAs, and a friendly and courteous staff there to help you with all of your needs. Find them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com and take the talent train from Schmoesville to Pro Town with Space. Let's get down.
How did I get here? And now here is your host, I'm Howdy.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show, New Year's Eve, 2019. The end of a decade, you know? It's pretty weird, isn't it? Not just the end of the year, but the end of a decade. Started this podcast almost a decade ago. It's been an eventful decade. It has been an eventful decade. In society, there's a lot of bad news, a lot of weird news, a lot of music news. You know, there's a lot of music coming out all the time, always coming out. People are bitching about the mainstream and their year-end albums or their decade of, like, decline of music and Western civilization and the whole fucking thing they're talking about, which I understand, and I get it. I hear you, gang. But there is a lot of stuff that people are making that's great, and they're putting it out, and I hope that I'm here bringing you the stuff that these people are putting out, you know? I mean, there's always going to be a mainstream crap fest. I thought there was in the 90s. Like, I hear music now from the 90s, and people are like, that's a big hit. I had my head so far in other things at that point, and I wasn't listening to mainstream radio in any way. I was listening to CDs all the time, my friend's music, independent music, a lot of independent music, a lot of stuff that wasn't being played on the radio. So, anyway, we got to look at that, because music's still being made everywhere that's amazing, you know? Movies are still being made everywhere. That's amazing. Now, you know, all of that's gone crazy, you know, with the streaming and the streaming music. Imagine a decade ago, we were all listening to our iPods. Where's your iPod now? What's on it? Do you still use it? I still have mine. It's over there. I don't ever put anything on it. It's on this like boombox thing, so I can just play stuff from it. So I do it sometimes just to listen. I don't even know why I have it. I guess because it hasn't died yet. I don't know. Look, basically what I'm saying is a lot has changed in the last decade. We got this crazy impeachment thing going on in the government. We've got a crazy news thing going on in the world that's kind of freaking people out. We've got all kinds of people fighting with each other. Social media has kind of taken over the last decade and kind of like dictated what we who we vote for, what we do, where we go. The algorithms tell us what to listen to, what to watch, what to buy. It's been weird, right? So a lot of things have changed. A lot of things have changed. My life has changed. I've put out today. I was talking to my Uncle Jack, and I was like, you know, I've only released 9 songs in this decade. 4 songs with Liars and Saints, 1 Christmas song, and then 4 songs as an EP last year. So that's weird. I got to do a lot more music. I'm thinking about taking on 30 in 30, which is writing a song a day. For the month of January, 30 songs in 30 days, just to do it, just to get the music together and start thinking about another recording, start doing more. 2020 should be a more prolific year for me. It will be. I vow to do this. I'm going to try and do this 30 in 30. Let's see if, keep me honest, man. Let's see if even by Friday's show, I've written the couple of songs that I needed to write. All right, gang. Listen, if you live in Houston, you haven't made your plans for New Year's Eve, come on out to Last Concert Cafe. Skyrocket will be playing there tonight. All right? We're ringing 2020 with Skyrocket at Last Concert Cafe. That's a great place. We've been having a great time playing there. It's going to be, they're going to have a champagne toast, whatever. Go to skyrockettheband.com. Tickets links are there, and also at Skyrocket on Facebook. But that's tonight, gang. If you're out and about, do it up. All right, look. I'm going to get serious here for a second. 2020 is here. All right, tomorrow is the start of a new decade, start of a new year, start of a new us. With this 30 and 30, hopefully I'll be spending a lot more time making music rather than paying attention to media and stuff like that and things that are kind of distracting me. And I hope that we all get to do the same and kind of like dig into things that make us happy. Those of us that are creative, maybe create more. I know that I've been stunted a little bit, doing this podcast, doing Skyrocket, doing many different things I do to make a living, which I'm very happy to do. But when I'm done doing those things, I end up digging into some media stuff that ends up just confusing me and not leaving me in a good place. And then there goes another, there goes time wasted that I could have been creating something. So that's what I'm going to do. Hopefully I will stick to it. Hold me to it. Find me on Twitter at Johnny Gowdy. Speaking of creative, I've talked for a long time and haven't even said who the guy is on the show today. Best photographer in Austin at the Austin Music Awards 2019. And my dear friend, Ismael Quintanilla, is my guest today. He's an amazing photographer. You might have seen his photos all over the place here in Austin. He's done photos, he's got photos of almost anyone you can imagine. Go to iq3photo.com. All right, here's a list of people. Paul McCartney, Ice Cube, Tom York, Lizzo, Janelle Monáe, David Byrne, Depeche Mode, St. Vincent. Local people like Jackie Venson, Go Fever, Shy Beast. He was the photographer at the Next, the show we did at Austin Music Foundation that we did at Antone's earlier this year, back in January. I went over and hung out with him that night, and we've ended up becoming friends since then. He's come and shot me at shows, and he's done all. He's just an amazing photographer. He's a really nice guy. He's from Mexico, and he has a bit of an accent. So you got to get ready because he does have an accent. I think it's cute and I understand him because I'm also Hispanic. And I kind of thought maybe we should do this podcast in Spanish. Anyway, we have a great conversation about his love of music. He's also a musician. He has a band called the Guacamole Police and they're playing on January 3rd at the North Door for free week. So get on out there and see Guacamole Police. Go to iq3photo.com to see Ismael's photos, all of his work. His work is amazing. His work is absolutely amazing. His live work is over the top, man. He catches so much great shit from small clubs to huge festival stages like ACL, Fortress Festival, all these festivals, man. He does a lot of stuff with Do 512. He is a fantastic photographer and a lovely human being. I'm very proud to call him my friend. And I'm very, very glad to close out this year and this decade talking to my dear friend, Ismael Quintanilla. Let's get down.
I love all these little things that you have, like, all over the house.
Thanks. It's like a crazy, it's a crazy mishmash of stuff.
I like that. You know, I think we all have a crazy mishmash of everything. Yeah.
Do you, what hangs in your place?
Actually, right now, I've been going the opposite. I've been keeping my place really kind of minimalistic. My room is just painted white.
Yeah.
Very lit on the walls. One time I was in San Antonio and I forgot the artist, but I found this like little frame. You just say, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And I just put that in there and I don't really have much, but in the hallway, I just have like all these concert photography from most of my friends that I usually will buy prints and just have like the hallway as kind of small exhibition of
a little inspiration for you.
Exactly, yeah, and it just has been a great, great way to constantly support my friends and just have rotating art. Actually, have a big stack of like art that you just need to frame in order to hang it, but I used to buy a lot of art.
Yeah.
Whenever I used to go to the art shows and whatnot.
But now you're busy doing shoots all the time.
Yeah.
Who did you shoot today? Who's your...
Today I was working with Paul Dimmer. Uh-huh. He's a trumpet, trombone, and they were looking for just a little bit of like headshots, and we did some live stuff, but we went to Swan Dive and they just allowed us to use the space.
Oh, cool.
Early before any shows, and we just kind of play around the venue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you, I know that when we went to dinner the other night, we were talking about it, like, You go and shoot a lot of shows. You shoot a lot of festivals. Like, I was going through your stuff today, And I mean, on your website, like the live stuff, I don't even know what half of it is. I'm just like, where the hell is this guy going all the time? And you were like, you don't really get out and see as much music as you used to, just to get out and see it.
Correct. Actually, that's been one of the things that I've been doing more, where I just go to shows to
hang out.
Like really force myself to not take my camera and go there and socialize more. But I mean,
have you been to one yet that you didn't bring your camera and you're like, shit, I should have brought my camera?
Yes. Man, I forgot exactly what show was. It was my girlfriend every now and then wants to go, especially with bands that she really, really likes.
Yeah.
I'll try to just not take my camera so we can both enjoy it.
Yeah.
And share time together. But man, there's just times and that I'm just like, I don't know what to do with my hands when I'm...
Right.
Even standing still.
Right.
Because I'm constantly moving around, especially in places like Mohawk or places where they don't have a venue and we can shoot the whole show. I'm just walking around the whole venue.
Yeah.
And kind of standing still is something that I'm starting to appreciate more, not only like music, but just in life in general, just kind of like observing what's going on and be present in that moment. Because one thing, and it seems to be something that a lot of musicians have, a lot of photographers have in common when they work in this industry, is that they tend to not remember most of the show, but through photos.
Right.
And that happens to me a lot.
Yeah.
So I've been kind of just even observing, listening more, because I'm so hyper-focused on what's in front of me that everything just kind of like just blanks out.
It's interesting, we live in a time now, because like when I was growing up, before the smartphone and the camera on your phone and all that stuff, cameras weren't allowed in shows, and like people that were allowed to take pictures were allowed access, and they were allowed like what, the first three songs or something before the person gets all gross and sweaty. And and now it's like everybody, I mean, like, you, there's a lot of your photos where cameras are up.
Yeah.
I mean, our phones are up. I call them cameras, but the phones are up. Is that, what do you think of that? Do you think that people are getting taken out of the moment?
I think so. I think a big part of it is they're just not present. They're seeing a concert through the screen. And quite frankly, at least when I used to do that, I never remember like going back to...
Do you ever watch it? I mean, do you think they watch it? Because they sound like shit.
I mean, I think it just depends. Some people are genuinely just in their phone pointing at the stage 100% of the show and totally missed it. A lot of people are like live streaming it. And I just don't think there's that much enjoyment.
Yeah.
And for me personally, I never go back to see those photos or videos again.
Right.
And I just think it's a waste of time.
Right.
See, especially if somebody's paying $30, $40 to go to a show.
Exactly.
I would love to like experience it to the full extent of what I'm able to at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But
going through your Instagram as well, there's it's great stuff. Like you don't put a lot of, I know that we talked about this too the other day, but I'm so fascinated. Like there's so many shots that are so good that I wonder when you're shooting live, is it a numbers game? Are you like shooting so many photos that one of them has to work? Like how armed are you, like cocked and ready when that moment happens that you're going to shoot?
So pretty much being fully focused in what's in front of me and really feeling the music. I think it has a lot more to do with the whole experience and the whole emotional aspect of what the musicians are trying to put out.
Yeah.
And just finding a good angle to find it where everything kind of works, and it is this micro adjustment. Like I might have the frame, but I had to micro adjust to like make sure the mic is at the right place, or the guitar, or I'm not cutting anything important enough. And it used to be more about a numbers game, just like kind of like pretty much like hope and pray that like
yeah.
But it is a waste of time. In, I mean, luckily we have memory cards, so we don't worry about things like film.
Film, yeah.
But even the amount of time that it takes for me to go through the whole photos, it is, it used to be pretty labor intensive going through a huge amount of photos. As of right now, I'm just going to focus on, I mean, if I got the shot and I'm good, I try to work different angles and rather, I don't know, I like a good variation and yeah. be able to tell a story than just a close-up of somebody so many repetitive times. I have seen from maybe 5 years ago where I used to have easily a set of like 50, 75 photos of just one band. I don't do more than 10 nowadays.
Yeah.
Because you're just trying to really focus on the quality over the quantity and yeah. really try to tell a story that in a way tells what I was feeling by watching that band.
You get that. Yeah. You definitely get like there's a lot of vibe in your photos.
Exactly. Especially even trying to define the genre that I'm photographing is very, very different compared to a singer-songwriter to a mosh pit punk song.
Right.
And try to stay pretty much honest to what I'm photographing.
Yeah.
But there's always, I don't know, there's always that moment where everything works.
Yeah.
Everything is moving, and then for a split second, all the pieces fall into place.
Right.
And I think I got better as continue playing this game over and over and going to more shows and just refining the skills. And in a way, too, kind of knowing a little bit about the band helps.
Yeah.
And kind of knowing what I'm getting into and just kind of going with it.
There seems to be some bands that I've seen and kind of followed your work with certain artists like Jackie Benson.
Mm-hmm.
Like you and she have a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, actually.
You have a great connection.
We do. Actually, I was working with her last night.
Yeah.
We're at the Trail of Lights, and she got a new beautiful guitar from Gibson, and we've just been trying to showcase that. And she has been one of the artists that I had the opportunity to intimately work over and over and over
yeah.
in many aspects, in composed of like live stuff, but a lot of it just everyday life, or even portraits, a little bit of touring here and there. And I just got to know her in probably ways that she might not even know herself, because I kind of know the when things are coming, or
that's interesting,
depending on the song, or there's particular poses or faces that I know she's gonna do, and I'm just kind of really looking for it. And even sometimes, because I work with her so much, I move towards being more experimental and finding different angles and different ways that just to keep it like refreshing and ongoing. And it's amazing. I think she feels comfortable, and that allows me to just do way more with than somebody who might feel kind of shy in front of the camera, or even sometimes like nervous, or we just kind of just are reworking like family and kind of hang out and just try things.
Yeah.
So it just allows the communication to flow more easily.
Right. Right. Day Eater is another band that they're easy to do, aren't they?
Man, and Day Eater is where Jackie is. Like, yeah. I feel like classy,
yes,
and amazing.
Yeah.
And like,
there's nothing
Day Eater,
classy about Day Eater.
Day Eater. And what I like is another set of friends that we already know each other for a while.
Yeah.
We have worked over and over again. And I will say like, hey, I have this crazy idea. And even before I finish, they'll be like, yes, we're down.
Yeah.
And also, too, the nature of their own band being a little bit more grungy and more like rock that gets more down and dirty, and
yeah.
the wild energy that they have allows me to be able to do more stuff with them. We had photo shoot in Mohawk like about a year ago, and I was like, yeah, I have this crazy idea. I want you to like jump off the couch and like, but it's, we were using Flash, so it's not gonna come out on like the first try, so we had to like jump over and over couch. And but they knew that they wanted that shot as much as I did, and they were amazing as far as like, okay, let's keep jumping and jumping. And finally we got this like amazing iconic shot where Jesse Lee is just jumping out, just like his energy is just so big and open.
Yeah.
And the rest of the band members are just looking at him. And we tried to go with that contrast in that photo.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had done like a lot of stuff like that where, I don't know, just I try again, like trying to stay honest to what a band sounds like,
right?
More than what they look like, what they sound like, because I want to make sure that when those photos come out, they align with the band's idea of how they want to be portrayed into the world,
right?
With a little bit of like how I see them as well. So
yeah, of course. So man, you were born in Mexico City?
No, or, I was born in Monterrey.
Monterrey?
Yeah.
And what, like, do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. So I have, I'm the oldest. So I have a younger brother and sister. Mm-hmm. And I currently actually live with my younger brother.
Okay.
So he's been a little bit of a musician, not as much lately, but it's been fun to photographing as a musician outside the like big brother little brother relationship.
Sure.
Well, yeah, it's been been amazing.
So what did your parents do?
So my dad is an electrical engineer.
Okay.
And my mom is a teacher.
Okay.
And but on my mom's side, everybody has been in one way or another a musician.
Okay.
And one of my uncles is a big accordion player. And his son, actually, my cousin, went into being a big touring musician. And every time when we get together, there's always a lot of music going on. And though nobody does it professionally, aside from like one uncle, everybody knows how to sing, and we sing a lot of the just traditional Mexican music, and just kind of constantly going into, I don't know, there's always music in my mom's side.
Yeah.
My dad's side is more like not as inclined to like arts and all that, but both of them have been really supportive to just always pushing, I don't know, desires for like art, that even though they might not understand, they always been like, okay, if you like it, we'll support you.
Yeah.
But
so what was your exposure to music? Like what were you listening to?
So when I was through my family, it's been more the
traditional
norteño.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the regional music from the north side of Mexico. And when I was 14, at my first job, which was a burger joint across the street from what used to be my parents' house in Mexico. In there, I started getting exposed more to more the American rock. And it was like it was actually like around 98, 99.
Okay.
Monterrey started going through this phase. It was called Monterrey Avanza, which it was like all the rock music had been concentrated in Mexico City, and it just kind of started moving towards Monterrey, and there was all this new music in Spanish that was just coming around in a mix of genres, anywhere from bands that kind of had like Beatles sounds and some of the more heavier and hip hop, and they just started kind of like moving together.
It's like the rock en español.
Rock en español, exactly. Yeah. That is what movement, it was. Yeah.
Sort of like the late 80s or late 90s, sorry.
Late 90s, and then there was that phase before the 2000s, just started concentrating in Monterrey a lot. Okay. Started kind of there, and then based out of the group of friends that I was around, I started listening to a lot of metal. and a lot of like death metal, black metal, really, really heavy stuff, actually, to the point that like my parents were kind of uncomfortable because he was like, whoa, this is like, what's going on? Why is he dressing in all black? And especially moving to the US, it was just, they were like, oh, he's just going through a phase. And
when did you move to the US?
We moved to the US in 99.
Okay. As a family?
As a family, okay. Yeah. So my dad still at that point in Mexico because he had his job, but eventually he found his job over here and then just kind of we settled down in McAllen, Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're from down there?
From the valley, yeah. The RGB. Valley.
So once you got there, how old were you when you got to McAllen?
14.
Okay.
And yeah.
So you're young. You're just 34 years old?
I'm going to be 34 next February, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so you moved there at 14 and you got along. It wasn't that much of a culture shock, was it?
In certain areas it was, like high school. Actually, it started here in 8th grade and that was a culture shock for me. We used to go for like our middle school was from 8 in the morning to like noon. And over in the US they just had longer days and
right.
It was just a total culture shock. Used to be, even though I live in a big city, the classroom used to be just like, I don't know, not as bands we were here. When over here there was like TVs, computers, and
right.
Like all these things that I was not necessarily used to in a classroom setting. And I kind of knew a lot of like English at that point, but there was still kind of navigating a whole new world,
yeah,
in a different language. It was right. challenging, but eventually just kind of were able to settle down. And luckily enough, we are a border town and it wasn't that much of a difference as compared if I would have moved somewhere like up
Wisconsin
north,
or something. Yeah,
exactly. So
so you were into music then. What did you like? Did you go see shows?
Yeah, actually my first concert, it was actually in McAllen. It was Pantera, Morbid Angel.
Oh, shit.
Soulfly. It was actually
their tour. You went all the way.
Yeah, like it was their last tour. And
shunk, shunk, sugar, sugar, shunk, shunk. Yeah.
It was heavy stuff. And one of my friends from Monterrey was in town and he went to the mall and the guys from Morbid Angel were hanging out there. And they were like, oh, yeah, cool. They hang out. Like, come visit us at our bus before the show. So on my first concert, we got to hang out with this like big band that we were big fans of and just hang out at their tour. And it was just like, whoa, what's happening here? Like, and just kind of hang out with them a little bit.
Yeah.
And just kind of went from there. One of the things that I used to do is always take disposable cameras with me to these shows. And we used to be like front row. So I have a whole set of photos of like these kind of like really grainy and bad photos of big artists since I was like about 14.
Oh shit,
like,
man.
Disposable
I'd love
cameras.
To see those.
Yeah, like I have photos from like I think one of the most iconic ones that I remember is like Judas Priest.
Oh.
Rob Halford wasn't there. He was the Ripper. He
oh,
was that
yeah,
time
yeah,
where
yeah,
like
yeah.
Rob Halford was doing his own thing. But yeah, I have like a lot of the photos that were taken in disposable cameras from like metal shows from like pretty much like early 2000s.
That's awesome. And those metal bands, they went down there because that's big.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's pretty big. Yeah. A lot of Mexican culture does have like big
a lot of Hispanic rumors. Culture. Like those biggest metal shows are always in Brazil.
Yeah,
you know, where fucking 500,000 people go to it or something.
Mexico City has just a
same
big,
thing.
Big
yeah.
giant like. Pretty much a metal roots.
Yeah. Was Morbid Angel, aren't they Swedish?
No, they're actually in Florida.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm
trying to think. I know this guy, Jonas Åkerlund, and he was a bass player in some Swedish death metal band. I can't remember the name.
I mean, there's so many.
So
Swedish.
Many, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They all have those names.
Yeah, and you cannot read any other name in their logo, but yeah, it's amazing.
So were you wearing like the denim vest with the patches
just, like,
on it?
No, it was just all black.
Okay,
usually
just
like
all black
jeans, black boots, black shirts, usually like some sort of like metal shirts.
So did you get into like Mudvayne and stuff like that when it came out?
Yeah, yeah.
What was the band from Iowa that wore the masks?
Slipknot. Yeah. Yeah, which I got to photograph them a couple of years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I mean, metal shows, I don't listen to that much metal. I mean, one, Austin doesn't have that like really, really big of a metal scene. I feel it's kind of growing, but they're so hard to photograph because, I mean, you usually have like guys with long hair,
right?
And they're like headbanging, right, and right. Just
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, aside from the guitar, it's a little bit difficult to photograph, but I tried, especially with bands that I am a big fan, I tried to make it to their shows.
Yeah. So when you were taking those pictures with the disposable cameras, did you have any aspirations then to be a photographer in any way? Or did you were just capturing the moment for yourself to be like, hey, I saw Morbid Angel?
I think I was just capturing it for myself. I didn't even know that was even a thing.
Right.
Where people photograph like music.
Right, right.
Because I don't remember there. I mean, McAllen is a small town too, but and there was a barricade, but I don't remember seeing any photographers covering the show, so it was not a thing that I was familiar with. Mm-hmm. When I really got into it, it was still like maybe around like 16 or 17, one of my closest friends, Luis Guerra from Monterrey, he used to be a taxi driver for the newspaper guys, the photographers, and through being his driver, he just kind of got into photography, and one of the big things that he started doing is covering metal shows or just like a lot of concerts in Monterrey.
Yeah.
And when I saw his photos, I was like, whoa, man, I was like blown away. I remember amazing shots of like Metallica and all these bands that were coming through Monterrey. And that for me, just kind of talking to him and kind of like knowing his experience and the love of music, I was like, I want to do that. And that's what pushed me to get my first DSLR camera and then started doing a lot of local shows around McAllen. And honestly, for me, that was it. I mean, I kind of knew that it would have been cool to photograph these big bands, especially a lot of the bands that he had shot before, that I was like, I want to do a lot of that. It looks really cool, and if he can do it, so can I. But McAllen doesn't have that much of touring bands to go into getting that quality of shots, and just kind of left it at that. And it wasn't until I moved to Austin that just started getting a more focused idea of what I wanted to do.
Did you learn, like, was there any social, was MySpace around then when you started doing that with the DSLR?
No, it was the beginning of Facebook. I mean, it was kind of like in between that, the end of MySpace and the beginning of Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we used to use...
Did you post the photos? Did you...
We used to use a lot Flickr.
Right, right. Yeah, I remember when that was a thing. I think I might still have an account.
Yeah, they might still be there. I probably have one, too. I have not got into it. Actually, if you probably Google my name through Flickr, you find some of the, like, older photos.
Oh, that'd be cool to see.
But, I mean, it was... Not the way. Actually, for the longest time, I didn't have an Instagram, even though it was out. And Facebook used to be kind of the main way to like share photos back then. And started working with a lot of the local bands once I...
Wait, when you moved here?
Yeah.
And what'd you move here for, college?
No, I actually moved here to... I have finished my master's degree in electrical engineering and just got a job with the company that I work right now.
Where'd you go to school, though?
It used to be called University of Texas Pan American, which it was part of the UT system.
Okay.
And they rebranded it in the last couple of years to UT Rio Grande Valley.
Okay.
But that's...
And so you got your master's in electrical engineering?
Correct, yeah. Okay. And that's really what brought me to Austin. I did not come here from...
So during that school time and when you were getting your master's, you weren't shooting much, were you? Were you?
I used to shoot my friends' bands, like a lot of the local shows, but it wasn't like anything big. I think every now and then I would like sneak my camera into these big shows, but
it was more of a hobby at that point.
More of a hobby. Yeah. I didn't have the either the equipment or the access to be able to get like good shots, and it was just I never saw myself as doing this professionally.
Sure. That's interesting, isn't it?
No, it's super interesting. Yeah, I think
so. So then you got your job out of school, and that was here.
Yes,
and that brought you here.
That brought me here.
And so, how did you start your new social life? Did you have friends here?
Honestly, I had.
Or did you make all new friends?
I pretty much make all new friends. I had like a friend here and there, but I think it was friends that were not necessarily into a lot of the same things that I was. For me, I was being surrounded by musicians in one way or another. So
family,
friends, and that just started bringing me towards start discovering the scene. Like my purpose, even up to right now with concert photography, has been to use it as a means to make friends. So that for me, that was like, oh, I'm gonna go and kind of shoot. And
you
that.
Won, you won best photographer of the Austin Music Awards.
I mean,
you got a lot of friends.
Exactly. No, I think that's one of the reasons. I mean, even though I know there's photographers doing a lot of big things, my purpose has always been beyond anything else, hanging out and like making connections and using it as a tool to connect with people, with musicians, because that for me. I'm always around there. I mean, I'm a musician myself, so you just kind of like, it's an easy thing to
What do you play?
Guitar? I play bass.
You play bass? Do you play with anyone?
We kind of right now working.
Oh, yeah.
We used to be in, have this band called the Guacamole Police, and we actually have a show coming up, even though we kind of stopped playing for a while, but.
Where's the show?
It's going to be at the North Door on February 3rd during free week. January 3rd during free week.
Okay.
It might be, it was just a random police. Thing, and we just love it.
I had to write this down, man.
And from that project, I mean, the Guacamole Police was like ridiculously wild. We call it more like theatrical band than actual music, but it was just, I don't know, a way for explore like alternative personalities of all for myself and my bandmates. And we used to be really wild and just created this whole thing to be able to hang out more.
Yeah. There's a thing that you you definitely in your photography, you do connect with art bands. Like the artier bands, you connect with them.
I think because that allows me to be able to do something different.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to do this necessarily for the sake of doing it for a living.
Sure.
I want to do it because I love art. I love being able to let people show how they want to be seen. Yeah. And a lot of the bands that I really love working with is these bands that have these really wild personalities, because that makes my job so much easier.
Sure.
It's just I don't have to do anything. Yeah. They do all the work and I'm just setting up a light and letting them do their thing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it has to do because I resonate with that.
Yeah.
Even though as I get older, like, I'm more chill, but like I used to be really wild and loved just going crazy and like really just getting that aspect out of myself.
Yeah. That's the attraction to metal music. You weren't a dark person. You were going there and exercising your demons.
Exactly. And I mean, I think also too with metal was like, this kind of outcast community, and yeah. it was like a nice way to feel welcome. And
sure.
And
sure.
I think even here in Austin, when it goes more to, but here more to like side rock, it's a whole thing. I think the music community is a place for outcasts that don't necessarily fit well with like just your more everyday like people. And that's why it becomes really attractive. It's a community where people just want similar interest or have similar interests, and they want to be vulnerable, and they want to be able to feel safe in a place right. where they're able to be themselves.
So when you moved here and started working and you started going out and seeing bands, that's you'd shoot them and then.
Yeah. So
what year was that?
So it'll be in 2013.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was not too familiar with the Red River side of the community, the music community here in Austin, but I used to just kind of like explore, you know, like I'm getting here and there's like breweries everywhere. So
yeah.
I ended up going to Independence Brewery, and there was always a rotation of bands every like X Saturday of the month.
Right.
And one of the first bands that I started or that I just photographed for fun, it was the Human Circuit.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. through meeting Matt Aldegis and some of the people that work in the band, that's when I started like learning about Red River and places like Cheer Up Charlie's, Mohawk, and right, Stubbs. Right. And I just keep going to all these shows, and I was taking my camera with me. And that for me became a way to kind of just start getting in.
Yeah.
And connecting with like more bands.
Right. You're not shooting that Black Fret thing tonight.
I'm not.
Okay.
I just
realized that you would be there now if you.
Yeah, I would be there now. And I'm kind of taking it easy during December. So.
So you started doing that, and then just like, how did you sort of like? Because I remember one day there was no Ismael Quintanilla, and the next day there was.
I think it started a big part of. Started getting, because I used to do a lot of local bands and work with a lot of local bands. And one time my friend Kat, she was like, you should hit up Duke 512 and I'll connect you with Roger Hogue, which is their photo.
And you're still doing stuff with them.
I still work with them. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. So she hooked you up with him.
And pretty much I started, they were like, yeah, we'll love to have you in the team. And that became a way for me to start shooting more like touring bands.
You had access to that.
I have access, yeah. And I remember funny enough, one of my first concerts with them, it was a metal concert. So it was Behemoth and Cannibal Corpse at Mohawk. And that was like my first show that I have some sort of like photo pass.
Yeah.
And then pretty much, man, I went so wild when I started. I was doing, I remember 1 week, I did, in the span of 1 week, I did like 14 different shows. Where, I mean, I think that's the amazing thing of Austin as well, that all
there's
the
that
venues,
much going on.
All the venues are so close.
Yeah.
And I remember I did like 14 shows and I was like, oh my god, like how did I do that with there only being 7 days out of the week? And I used to be so driven into like going out every night, and I think that's what it started kind of like rolling the ball in here, because it just kind of got in there. And
well, it's probably also with like the advent of social media that way then people started sharing the pictures that you were tagging, and then all of a sudden before you knew it, before you knew it, if you were shooting like 14 shows a week at one point,
yeah.
Before you knew it, you had a couple hundred bands.
Yeah, no, oh yeah, like
and
very,
shows
very easily.
And, yeah.
And I mean, I used to keep track of like bands that I shoot right nowadays. I'm just like, okay, who cares? It's too many to count. But I think a big part of it was my desire to connect with people.
Yeah.
Through this medium. It was not, I mean, I have seen photographers come and go, and everybody has their own interest for being there. For me, it was like, hey, hi, I want to be your friend, or I want to like hang out outside the shows, and I want to be able to really get to know just the musicians outside the music. Yeah. And that just became a thing. Most of the people, if not everybody that I hang out with, is in some way or another involved in the music scene.
You're a bro.
Yeah, yeah,
pretty much. No, you totally are. Yeah. Yeah. Even like I noticed that with, I think that's the night that I put the name with the face was at the Next at Antone's earlier this year.
And I think...
But everybody was going up there, and I'd see them go into the little room to shoot with you. And, you know, there was like a bro down. When they'd walk in, they'd hug you, and you guys, oh, yeah, no way, right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's been the easy thing where sometimes I try to do all these portrait sessions during certain, like, big events, music events, and I don't even have to go through their PR. I just... personally send their musicians like, hey, like I want to do this.
Yeah, and yeah, I like that.
And that just is so much easier because they already know me. They already know like what they're going to expect. I did the same thing at Utopia a couple of weeks ago where I did a whole set of portraits.
Yeah, I loved those.
And they were like, oh, do you need us to connect? And I was like, no, I got it. Like, I know most of the bands that were playing...
Are you friends with Alejandro with Shaky Graves?
I know him here and there.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much, I tend to see him a lot during Utopia. And that's
that was a sweet photo of you got of him in that portrait session.
And he's just kind of like, I think that friendliness make them take down their defense.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just able to show more of who they are rather than like, oh, this camera in front of me and I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And he's, it helps too. I think that for me, it has been the biggest skill in general when it comes to photography to be able to interact with people,
and
like make them feel comfortable. And I had to deal with a lot of my own anxieties to not bring it into a photo shoot.
Right.
Because that, just like music, photography tends to be like a way of art where the emotion comes out.
Yeah.
And it's just making everybody kind of feel safe and comfortable. And my desire is always make everybody look like a rock star.
Yeah. Well, you do that. There's a great, were you doing photos like for interviews to do 512 during ACL Fest? Because there was some, like a great photo of Gary Clark Jr. on a couch that you got that was.
Yeah. He was just...
like shooting up, kind of gave him that sort of like,
I mean, it just kind of like make them look like, you know, sometimes giving them a little bit of direction because people tend to freeze and he's just kind of like, hey, like, you know, a lot of times just like, give me that like rock star look and they cannot really know that.
Yeah.
You know, they just kind of like go into this automatic like position. They just... trying to make themselves look as cool as they can. And I mean, the cool thing here is that it's beneficial for both of us. You know, my photos are going to look cooler, but then they're also going to like be these cool photos of them out into the world.
Right, right.
And again, it's just the whole connection there is so important.
Do you have a studio or do you have a studio you rent or something when you do?
My bedroom is my studio. I mean, I do have a studio like when it comes to like some of the more professional.
Right, right. Shoot. Are there ones you can rent here, right? Like by the hour, like a rehearsal room?
Yeah, so I go a lot. It's on like 183 and I-35 Waveform.
Yeah.
They do a lot of like, they have like music practice spaces.
Right,
but
right.
They also have like, just a photo studio. And I use a lot of that, but it's just when I have really, really big shoots. A lot of times I just have these big... foldable backdrop that it can be either black or white, and I tend to use my bedroom. Like, and I think that also helped me a lot to people just feeling like, oh, just as somebody.
Yeah, same thing like this. Like yeah, you're not exactly. At a place at like an office, or you're just coming to my living room and chilling out.
And there is no time constraint as far as like, oh, we have to be out of here. Right. It's just like, oh, let's just relax. We can hang out.
Yeah.
And then just kind of take it easy.
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to like portrait and studios, like, I love shooting on location. So just kind of coming out with ideas in getting creative with the space that we have available, because in the music world, we have to do that. You know, during ACL, we only have like 5 minutes or sometimes even a minute and just have to come up with something with whatever is available. So I love the studio aspect, but just having to be creative right there and there is, I think, what I love the most, one of the most noticeable ones. It was 2 years ago, The Revolution. I think I played at ACL, and I got to do this shoot, and I was so nervous because I was like, oh, man, these are one of the biggest artists.
Do you have Dr. Fink and someone else?
Yeah.
I saw that. And like a trailer or something?
They lent us a trailer that was there, and like I had just like a minute to capture that photo, and just like,
good job,
okay,
dude.
Got to do like all these lighting setup beforehand, trying to get advanced, and then just kind of roll with what I have. And they don't have, because they're just older, they don't have these like big wild personalities. So just had to make them look cool for who they are.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I know I talked to you about this as well before. Was just because it's so iconic, it's like getting Elvis at this point. You know, your McCartney shot. You said you were real far away.
Yeah.
When you took that. But that shot is like so, you captured him being him so well. Is that what it was with that photo where you're like, I got him. That's him.
Man, I wanted to get Paul so bad because, I mean, I shot already Ringo
A
couple of years before.
Would you shoot him at like the Ringo All-Star Show?
Correct, yeah. Okay. And then I was like, okay, I need to get Paul. I mean, first of all, it was the first time seeing Paul McCartney. And I was like, I have to like do this. And man, we pretty much, I mean, he doesn't approve photographers. There's a lot of artists that at a certain level, they just don't care because they just,
but how are they going to stop it at this point? You know what I mean? Like how, no one can stop it. People are going to take pictures.
Well, there is.
I'd rather you using your camera than some jackass with an iPhone 5.
I think it's more the, like, pit access. A lot of artists just sometimes either photographers can be distracting or they can make them anxious or they just don't. It's sometimes not even that they care. Like the crowd taking photos, it is, we do take a big space in between the stage and the barricade.
The crowd,
and sometimes can get overwhelming. And,
sure.
But that one I did went into the crowd and pretty much I had to wait maybe the band before. So you just kind of like slowly made
your way over,
And that was maybe a good, I don't know, maybe 20 feet from the barricade, and just had a teleconverter and tried to make my lens as long as I could. And I mean, luckily people were nice enough around me, but
like move a little bit for you to get some shots.
Yeah. And I tried to be like pretty kind and like respectful of their space. But some of those people were there since like gates open.
Yeah.
And somehow, like, I've been working all day, and somehow maybe an hour and a half before Paul McCartney play, just found my way there and then just had to camp. Just had to camp there. And I don't do it that often, but I wanted that so bad that I was willing to, like, just find my way in.
Yeah. Yeah, there's another astonishing photograph of Thom Yorke, like dancing and playing this keyboard with his, you know what I'm talking about?
That one
is killer.
2015, that's honestly one of my favorite photos.
One of mine too, of yours, for sure.
That was the first ACL headliner that I shot. That was the first ACL that I like that I shot, period. I was so...
With the pass?
With the pass, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I had like photo pit access, and I was so nervous before... Well, we were waiting in the photo pit before the show started, because I'm just like, holy shit, this is like Radiohead. I'm about to shoot. And I remember they're kind of challenging in certain ways, because their lighting is so dynamic, and sometimes it goes really dark, and then yeah. Sometimes where the light flashes and you gotta capture it in those flashes. And I mean, I was just like, whoa, I'm photographing Radiohead, because that was the first like big festival. And that opportunity came to shoot ACL, and I was like, oh man. And I don't know, it's just so crazy trying to wrap my mind around that moment, because it was so dark, and I was like, wow, I'm here. There's like who knows how many thousand people right behind back. Yeah, and then I was just like,
it's a great photo. And it's like he's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like in nothing, just being, and again, like capturing the essence of Thom Yorke being Thom Yorke.
And he's just like screaming. There's screaming.
There's
the
no
keyboard,
microphone.
And
yeah.
He's just like,
he's in the moment.
And, you know, you hardly see anybody with the handheld keyboard.
No.
Like, because he's a small like keyboard. Right. He's just like playing, and he just looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's a great, like, great like show. It's one of my most favorite shows that I ever seen.
Yeah. Well, what do you what's your favorite of all the shows that you've seen and shot?
Okay, so there's, you know, big shows. For example, shooting Lizzo a couple months ago at ACL Live, or shooting The Cure and Tame Impala. And
you got a good Robert shot in there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I really love those shows a lot, especially for the magnitude. But my guilty pleasure is going to these like punk shows, or these like shows where the bands get really crazy. And actually, a couple months ago, I shot this band, Daikai Yu, and they set their whole like instruments on fire at some point, and they don't have like, we're at actually a Kick Butt, so it's a small like coffee shop, and there's these like heavy Japanese surf band. But they're actually from Houston. They use that as a style. And they're putting like lighter fluid on the cymbals, and then creating these like big flames. Yeah. And at the end, they're like putting, like setting all their instruments on fire. And they actually, they went outside and then put all these lighter fluid on top of their like touring band. And they just set it on fire. And I'm just like, what? I mean, I knew that I was signing up for that when I went there, but... It just got like crazier and crazier. They're carrying like they asked the crowd to pick up the whole drum set, and then the drummer, so he's playing really close to the ceiling while everybody's lifting the drummer and the drum set, and he's like playing, and I'm just like, wow, this is total madness, and I'm just loving it.
Yeah.
I'm free to do, because they don't have necessarily like restrictions, they're not that big. They just don't care, and then I'm able to do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Another really, really crazy show, it was Insane Clown Posse.
ICP, baby.
ICP. I had to, like, all the photographers went with, like, raincoats and all these protective gear, because they use Faygo, which is the soda that they use at their shows. They're like spraying Faygo all over.
Yeah.
It's just,
you gotta keep your,
it feels like it's raining.
Yeah.
And then they're throwing like feathers, and there's like all these flashes and dances, and you felt like a war zone, because there's so much going on. And
it's only exciting.
Three songs, and like by the end of it, I'm just like, what just happened? Like, I'm just soaked in like soda, and my camera is just dry because I put all the protective gear, but it would have been destroyed if it wasn't because of like the protective plastic. And that for me is just like, I love those shows when I'm able to just get in there. Another iconic one, it was Dillinger Escape Plan at Mohawk. It was so intense. The whole venue was like shaking. People were jumping from the second floor into the crowd, like just jumping on stage, and I'm just like, what is going on? You just, that for me, that's like
chaos, baby.
When these photos just look amazing for what they are, rather than just being somebody really famous,
right?
And I love that, because again, it goes back to connecting with a lot of my childhood life.
Yeah.
And it's just like, love that energy.
Yeah, totally. That's awesome. What do you have planned for 2020? What's the next thing?
I want to start working more towards like touring. I think like touring with bands.
Yeah.
This year, my goal was to be part of 10 music festivals as part of their
Jesus, that's a lot, dude.
In-house photo team, and I think I got to do like 15. So
wow,
just got, not only in here, I got to go to France and do a lot of stuff over there, working for like Levitation France and Rock in the Barn.
Really?
Yeah. So I got to do all of that, and luckily, a lot of jobs are, those gigs are kind of recurring once you're kind of like in there. So I want to start focusing more on like touring, and a lot of, and not necessarily on the live music aspect of tour. I want to do more behind the scenes, because anybody gets access to be able to, for the most part, like access to shoot the band like live. I want to really capture a lot of the, you know, like privilege access to capture what a musician is made out of.
Yeah.
And I want to just continue doing more portraits, and I don't know, just continue going up the ladder.
You're doing a great job. I mean, you really ascended what seems to me very quickly, sort of over the course of 6 years. You went from a dude meeting Matt from the Human Circuit to like best photographer in Austin.
I mean
shooting 15 festivals.
It's just gotta, I just love it.
Yeah.
I just love it.
It shows. And it really does.
And I think it's the kind of art form that you gotta love it, because in quite honestly, there is not necessarily that like much money in there. So I do it for like the straight up passion. And during festivals, we're talking about like 5 in the morning nights, and then just having to do it all over again, because we have to just finish all
with those festivals. You got to get everything out by the next day.
And we just pretty much, like, it is long nights, and it's definitely a loving of the art.
Yeah.
That pushed me. Honestly, like, and also too, I get to do it with my friends.
Yeah.
All these photo festivals that I'm part of, either because I'm bringing friends or they're bringing me into the team. And man, it's the best. I get paid to like do these things alongside with my friends. And not only like the opportunities for me, but at the end of the night, everybody's doing their own thing during the day. And at the end of the night, we all get together and work to make a set of like the best photos
for the
press, and just be able to look at the work that we all do together as a team. It just blows my mind every single time, because I get to see their personal view on all these different bands.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Well, dude, people can get out and see the Guacamole Police on January 3rd at the North Door. People can find your photos at iq3photo.com. And, of course, you're on Instagram. Great Instagram page. Is there anything I'm missing? I'm sure there's tons I'm missing, but...
I just want to say that for the people that are doing it, one of the most important things is, again, that love. And always be nice to the fellow photographers and musicians. You know, it's all about... It's all about the community aspect that has a big impact more than the skill itself.
Yeah.
And whoever has a dream of wanting to do it, just continue doing it. And if anybody see me around, come say hi. I love always making new friends.
Yeah, you really do. You're a nice guy, and I'm glad that we became friends.
Likewise.
Yeah, you're definitely a bro. Yeah.
Love you very much, John.
Yeah, well, thanks for doing the show, brother.
Thank you very much.
Ismael Quintanilla. Find him at iq3photo.com. Always great talking to him. And don't forget, you can see his band, the Guacamole Police, this Friday, January 3rd at the North Door. Go over there and check it out. Find Ismael and his wonderful photography at iq3photo.com. All right, gang, that's it. It's the end of a year, end of a decade. Tomorrow starts 2020. I hope you already got your resolutions in place. Mine is to make more music and spend more time being creative. I wonder what yours is. Don't forget, you can follow our show anywhere you find podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. And you get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday, me talking to another musician. You can find Ismael Quintanilla at iq3photo.com. All right? Everyone, have a wonderful, wonderful New Year. Sorry, I'm a little bit out of sorts. I'm kind of tired, wiped out. Ready to wrap up this 2019, get on with 2020. I'll talk to you guys on Friday. Have a great, great, great New Year's. Happy New Year, everyone. Let's get down.